everybody, and welcome to
Nerd Alert!
Girls.
Awesome.
All right, so before we get started, I want to take a moment to say that as residents of Los Angeles County, we acknowledge our presence, including virtual presence, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of Indigenous people who are variously referred to as the Gabrielino Tungva people and Keech Nation. I am your host, Bridget, pronoun she, hers.
And I'm Jen with the G, pronoun she, hers. Hey, everybody, it's been a spell, hasn't it?
All right, so thank you all so much for joining us today, and apologies for the hiatus. We needed the break. We had a lot of things going on personally, but I am very excited, actually, that it ended up turning out like this, that we're going to do a two-episode combo. So today we are indeed talking about episode 4 and 5, episode 4 being Seeing Red, and episode 5 being Time and Again. And both of these episodes were directed by Charmaine Obaid Chinoy, and I apologize, I forgot to look up how to pronounce the name earlier. But anyway, this person is a Pakistani-Canadian journalist, filmmaker, and activist known for her work in films that highlight the inequality with women. She is the recipient of 2 Academy Awards, 7 Ooh. Emmy Awards, and a Knight International Journalism Award. So,
wow.
Some accolades right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the teleplay was by Sabira Pirzada and A.C. Bradley and Matthew Chauncey in episode 4. And then for episode 5, it was Fatima Asghar. So those are the creative credits for these 2 episodes. And again, I am glad that we're doing this as a combo, actually, because of the way the story played out, where it leads, you know, episode 4 kind of leads us through Pakistan, through Kamla's point of view as she's with her family and leading up to that moment where she finally sees what's going on in the vision during partition. And then it's like, we're about to find out about the family. Nope, just kidding. Nope. Next episode. But now we get to look at it as a whole piece because we're talking about both episodes. So I actually really like that.
Yeah, same. You know, and it's funny that you should mention the credits for these episodes, because I realized that both of the episodes had like a similar tone that were slightly different from the previous 3 episodes. Not like in a way where it's like, oh my gosh, they totally got a new writer, everyone is out of character, you know, like not like that, but just that slight subtle difference where I'm just like, okay, something about the writing, something about the something, you know. So now that we've got some creative director who, yes, kudos, Academy Awards, Emmys, wow. But yeah, the subtle difference and a heavy emphasis on the partition era, which, wow, I'm a little ashamed to say I did not really know was a part of, like, history. I've always heard of it more or less, like, really briefly in passing. But to get, like, a stronger insight was really fascinating, you know? Just, wow.
Yeah, it really got into more of the emotional component and more into, like, the people who were there, who were part of, the partition and, like, so I really like that. I wasn't sure how deep they would go into the history of the partition. I mean, you remember that article I was reading in the first episode where I was like, this is just, like, a super general overview, you know, of you know, the very violent history of the partition. So I thought, and you know, actually, the director was born, I think was born in Karachi or like grew up in Karachi. Yeah. Born in Karachi. Yeah. So
oh, really?
There really is like a direct, personal tie that this director has with the city that is called the City of Lights, apparently, which, all right, forget Paris, like Karachi.
Oh my gosh.
That's where the City of Lights are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think if we're going to look at episodes 4 and 5 kind of more broadly for a minute, like, I think what I saw very strongly was that the theme of family, right? Which seems so obvious, right? We've been talking a lot about family, but it's also, like, more specifically about mothers and daughters, right? It's, like, it's with the grandma, Sanaa and Muniba, the mother, and then, you know, Kamala and Muniba herself, you know, it's, you know, these different mother-daughter relationship in between the generations, right? And, you know, and
yes.
Kamala with her grandmother, right? And then, you know, her grandmother's relationship with her mother and, like, the fact that she, you know, doesn't have any photos of her, right? Just that painting that she's like, oh, I painted what I remember, which I'm like, that's pretty good memory for, like, a 5-year-old.
Yeah, not even 5, like probably 3
yeah.
Even when they showed that little girl in episode 5, I was just like, oh, that is a baby child. That is a toddler.
So Yeah.
So yeah, really
yeah,
great memory.
No, yeah, and like very talented artist also. But like, right, so it's this mm-hmm. it's this matrilineal line, right? And it's mothers and daughters, you know, and so that's like the big through line, right? And it's a big contrast with Qumran's mother who straight up abandons him and like, oh my gosh. All right, going micro for a second, the way that he calls her Ami, like a child being that, I was oh no, that hurt. That really hurt.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it hurts he so sounded- much. Like, oh. You should like I knew she was cold, but I was hoping at the very least, you know, she had some affection for her son, but she's like, no, leave him. He made his choice. And I'm like, oh.
I know. The others were showing more concern for him than she was. And I'm like, really? Really?
Really? That is your baby, but I have questions. Right. We
I
know.
Have questions about, like, what's... the father. Who the heck was Qumran's father? Like...
I have questions about that too. I'm not sure if we'll get that answered, but even I was just like, okay, where is he? I mean, we get Aisha and Hassan, but like,
did she just like seduce some guy Qumran's just so father? She could get pregnant so she could like imitate Aisha? Does she have like a complex about Aisha? I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. Just, oh my gosh. Yeah, I have literal questions about that so dynamic.
But anyway, yeah.
All day, every day.
But going back to like the mother thing, right? And, like, I think coming to a new understanding about your mother and, like, your mother's history and trauma and legacy and all those things, right? I mean, we're starting with, yeah. with Aisha, who is, you know, comes from a mysterious background, right? She just, like, up and, you know, shows up at Hassan's land, right? And, like, he asks her where she's from and she doesn't say, right? And he respects that, right?
Yeah.
And so like there's an element of that, you know, of like kind of having been cut off from her people, both from being exiled and then kind of self-exiling from the exiles who were with her. you know,
yeah.
And whereas and like so there's like some of that, right? And there's a lot of mystery because like, you know, she died when the grandma when her daughter was very little, when Sanaa was very little. And so you know, so there's like an element of that, right? And then with Sanaa and like her and Muniba, you know, Kamala's mother and grandmother, there's like that tension of like, I had the quote, you know, crazy mom, or what it's the word, what crazy theories is how she put it, you know, and and you know, you held on to it even when Baba left, and so I'm like, okay, so we don't care about the dad in that scenario, he's just a jerk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's like you know, but then when you by the end of this this latest episode finds that like her mother was right, she discovers something about her mother and her grandmother that she didn't know before. And then with Kamala, you know, she discovers a side to her mother that she didn't know before, right? That she was a rebel. Then that comes up a couple times. I mean, it comes up in episode 4 and then episode 5 with the photo album. I mean, you know, and seeing new sides, you know, even though like with the opening of episode 4 is like, you know, Kamala and her mother being intentional when they're, oh, I thought I was grounded. Is that an apply over international waters, you know? But they're so ready to just reconcile and be together again, you know? And Muniba and her mom, I think they're just so ready to reconcile and be together too. She's like, why don't you come to America? You know? Which, please, because I need to have the grandma there to help Kamala with her hijinks. Just, yeah. But, you
honest
know,
to
it's
gosh,
like,
right?
But, like, yeah. But, like, Sana, like, thinking, like, well, I thought you didn't want to be with me, and no, I just had to get away from, like, the community here who was ostracizing me because of you, and I didn't need your stories. I needed my mother, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I'm sorry, I'm rambling a little bit, but there's just, like, so much, like, in terms of so many different layers with this mother, these different mother-daughter relationships, and of discovering, like, who your mother is and where she came from and where you are going and how like you can grow closer to your mother and your grandmother and so on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love the family dynamic that they have. And it's always been like a thing in the Ms. Marvel comics that family is everything to her. And I love and appreciate that the show has captured that so flawlessly, and that they really do emphasize, like, yeah, this is how family ties work here, and this is how a healthy family looks, you know. Just, it made me so happy. Just, and also, it made me so happy to see that Sana and Muneeba sort of patched things up, because we kind of get the feeling that they were estranged, you know, for reasons. And even Sana tells Muneeba, you ran away for, like, Bruce Springsteen. And Muneeba's like, actually, it's Bon Jovi, but it wasn't you. I love that so much, by the way, but Bon Jovi being kind of a background tie there. But anyway, so yeah, family was definitely a big indicator here, especially when they go a little more into Aisha's background, where you see she's being chased, she's separated from, like, the rest of her group, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think she realized that it was just her. I think she assumed everyone died, or maybe she was well aware that they were out there somewhere, but figured, nah, what we're doing isn't okay. I gotta get away.
I thought she did it on purpose, like, ran away, because she did not look happy to see, oh my gosh, Najma.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting because, you know, at first when she was uncovering the bangle, she's like, yeah, well, get out of here. Let's go back home, you know, and something changed along the way, you know, maybe seeing Najma's ambition, I guess, and how quickly the others were willing to just slay the other people. I don't know. Or maybe she had an idea that the veil would just crush that earth or whatever. Either way, she ran away, met Hassan, fell in love, had her a little baby girl. Just, it was nice for her to just have that sense of calm, you know, that sense of family and love that was definitely different from the found family she had with the previous clandestines, right? You know, just something different, but something that made her pretty happy, you know, tending to the rose garden with Hassan, getting him a new cane and just raising their daughter, singing to her and such. It was so nice. And the fact that it got taken away from her so quickly just made me so sad. Just maybe just like Najma a little more here.
Well, yeah, I mean, Najma's the absolute worst, so.
Literally abandoned her own child. Total opposite of what Aisha was willing to do for her family, you know, just like, no, you betrayed us. You stay here. Okay, calm down. But yeah, the whole family dynamic that we had in these two episodes was spectacular. And I like that we finally have an idea of what happened with Aisha, you know. I'm thinking, okay, did she get thrown back into the veil? Is she dead? Is she somehow still out there but has to hide for her own good? You know, what's the story? Up, she's stabbed. Okay. Okay, I did not expect that, but at the same time I kind of did, and at the same time I'm kind of sad, and Kamala is kind of in the past now, kind of watching things unfold, and kind of, like, kind of moving things along here. Okay, tries not to think about the whole time travel paradox things that always nag me in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing was, you know, at the end of episode 4, I had thought, oh, she's in the middle of the vision, she's gonna see everything play out, right? That's how I thought it was going to go. And then, yeah.
Same.
But what happened instead was that she was the one who created the stars. And I thought for sure it was going to be, you know, Aisha. We would see her send the stars, you know? So, like, when she got stabbed and just, like, she didn't seem to know where her family was. And they didn't know where she was. And Sana's crying. And it's just, like, you know, everything is, like, hope is lost. And Kamala shows up and, you know, Aisha's just like, oh, you're here, Sana. And like, no, it's not Sana. You know, and it's you. Oh. Be fine because it's you. And just so clearly she had called her intentionally. I don't know. I guess, like, the only explanation I have with that is, like, the Noor dimension, interdimensionality that, like, that's associated with the bangle. I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the quantum realm, right? It's like that the norm realm is one thing, the quantum realm is another thing, and, like, time travel can happen in both. And, like, especially because the Noor realm is apparently overlaid with our realm and just, like, all that. So I don't, honestly, I feel like I can't really think too hard about it.
nope, we just accept that this is what happened because magic, and it worked out for the best anyway because Kamala got that little baby child back to her dad. And honest to gosh, Bridget, I don't know if it was just me being a big Chiana, but I swear, episode 5, like, nearly wrecked me. Like, just from happiness at first, where I'm just like, oh, she's in love. Aisha's in love. That's so sweet, you know, to, ah, the little baby child, you know, she's lost. She's crying for her mom and her dad. She's crying. I don't know how they got that toddler actress to cry, but it always kills me to see and hear kids cry. And man, either the girl playing Kamala's either a really, really good actress, or that was literal heartbreak in her eyes as she held that crying child. Like, no, 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 we'll find Nani. It's okay. I'm like, oh, seriously, I got emotional. I was trying not to be. I'm like, no, nope, stop it now. Stop it now. Stop. We do not want your sister to come into the room and be like, hey, let's go get lunch. Oh my gosh, you're crying. Never mind. Just, I got emotional. What can I say? Just, crying kids always get to me, folks. Get to me every time. But yeah, that whole scene about Kamala making the stars, I was like, okay, I feel like I should have seen that coming. But I totally didn't. Like, I really thought, like you said, Bridget, that Kamala would just be kind of a viewer of the past. Like, she's been having these visions of the train, but to actually kind of be in the past there and to be physical enough for her to embrace her grandmother and get her back to her great-grandfather, that was a whole nother thing that I'm trying not to think too hard about. I'm just like, magic, the bangle, I accept it. Moving on. Don't cry at the baby child crying. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. The penultimate episode always gets you with the emotion. I don't know what to say.
Oh, all the time. Oh my gosh. But it ended up pretty nicely, you know, more or less. You know, we got the time travel thing going on, which will always confuse me to some extent. But okay, it's fine. I accept it. I get it. Now, the thing is, should we talk about, like, how episode 5 ended, or should we go back into episode 4 a
little bit? Let's backtrack a little bit into episode 4, because I feel like, yeah, we've talked about the overarching theme that I saw play out a lot with the mothers and everything, but, you know, there was a lot going on in episode 4. First of all, I want to ask, the episode title, Seeing Red, do you have any insight, like, comic booky-wise, or, okay.
Yes, yes. It's the episode where she meets Kareem and the Red Daggers. So once I saw that that was that, I'm like, okay, I knew she was going to meet Kareem at some point, especially since she's going to Karachi. I'm like, but all right, I'm here for it. Bring me the Red Dagger. Bring him to me. He is a good boy, you know? So saw that coming and I'm pretty pleased. That's all the comic insight, okay, I have.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Seeing Red is like, you know, the Red Dagger, and then Seeing Red, you could also refer to anger or also to blood, and there's plenty of both, I would say. in this thing. Also, okay, I cannot believe we are dealing with a third love interest. And I can't believe I didn't even open with that for this episode, but that was ridiculous. I just...
Oh my gosh, it's okay, Bridget. I have it on good authority that, like, even though there's, like, definitely an attraction between Kamala and Kareem, it doesn't go anywhere beyond attraction, and he's more attracted to her than she is to him.
I mean, this is the case in the comics. So, like, the comic book Kamran is very different from the MCU Kamran, so, like, I'm just saying, like, anything goes. And as far as I can tell, we have a third freaking love interest, and I don't know how to deal with that. But anyway, we're going to loop back around to that later. But I mean, you know, I did find it funny. Like, they're all like, they're sniping at each other like the whole time. Like, like, I don't know. I just like the way they go back and forth was like pretty fun. Like when, oh gosh, when she's making fun of him, like, where'd you learn her jump from? Ninja Turtles? Where'd you learn to jump like that from? Donkey Kong? She's like, oh, okay, fair. Or when she's like, Red Daggers, what are you, in a Pakistani boy band? It's just like, that's
dead.
Dead. Yeah. So they clearly like to give each other a hard time, you know, but there was that level of attraction. I'm thinking particularly of the bonfire. So they looked at each other for a little bit too long. Not as long as the Bruno stare, but still long enough, you know, to get the vibe.
The Bruno stare. I like it.
That is the bar that I have for catching vibes with Kamala. Okay. It's the, or is it Bruno level stare? Okay. And I don't mean that in a negative way for Bruno. The only time I mean a negative stare is when I think of Spider Toby. Okay.
You're not wrong. And yes, there was definitely a lingering look. And when they were fighting, they were almost on top of each other because, you know, you can't have a romantically charged, attraction charged fight if one doesn't land on the other, one doesn't pin the other.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, saw that coming. But either way, you know, he takes her to where the other red daggers are, where they reveal, oh yeah, the veil. It will legit crush this earth if we open a portal to it. Will like destroy everything inside. And oh, well, we can't have that. Okay, great, you know.
Right.
But just in the midst of all that revelation stuff, you know, it was nice to see Kamala enjoy being in Karachi, yeah. You know. Despite that it was a little awkward at first with her mom, you know. She's getting along with her cousins. Apparently there's like a no gene policy in some places. Like, yeah. But she's like just immersing herself in the culture, going shopping, checking things out, you know. It was pretty cool. And the fact that Kareem takes her over to his friends where she has food that she recognizes, but like is different right. from what she's used to. Wait, yeah, is it spicy?
I've never had in a bag before. Yeah. I mean, and I really related to the whole is it spicy question, right? Because like I'm Latina, but same. Like my taste buds do not do well with fire. Okay. They just don't. And if that makes me like less Mexican, then fine. But anyway, so I just really related to that.
Same. I was just like, yeah, spicy food and I don't get along. I love the taste, but my body's just like, put that in me and you will be sorry. Yeah. So it was cute, you know, just seeing Kamala being a part of her culture. Like she always was, but it's different being like in America versus being in
right.
Pakistan.
Right. And her cousins,
you know?
Even make a joke, like joke at her expense about that, calling her ABCD, American born confused Desi.
Yes, oh my gosh, apparently that's a thing, and I'm like, oh yeah. My gosh. Good humor, thank gosh it's good nature that they're just like, hey cousin, yeah, you know, the sloth, yeah. Sloth baby, she's
they
a sloth baby.
They make fun of her nap pillow, which is not a stuffed animal. It's a stuffed animal, Kamala, just accept it.
Accept it, we're not judging you, it is really cute.
Exactly. But anyway, yeah, and I thought it was interesting too, because like, I've heard of the term ABC for American born Chinese, but I guess it's it makes me wonder which came first, or if they came kind of concurrently, or what. Just made me wonder about that, actually. But anyway. But yeah, so yeah, the Red Daggers vigilante group, she, you know, learns more about them, and the leader, Walid, which I totally clocked that he was going to die. I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they always go. The moment we have a kind, mentor-ish adult, they die.
It started with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Star Wars New Hope, and it hasn't stopped since.
It doesn't matter if we've only known him for like 5 minutes or like half an episode. They're
yeah,
gonna die.
Exactly. Didn't think I would still bring up Obi-Wan Kenobi now that the show's over, did you? Did you?
No. If not Obi-Wan, yeah. Then Cap.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's fine. But I loved Walid, you know. He was such a nice guy. I was pleased that he was able to take down one of the clandestines when they, you know, somehow got to Karachi in a couple of hours, you know, escaping all police activity and getting on a plane. All right. Okay, my logic just go away just for 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, exactly. But it was a sacrifice play too, because he had the daggers and he could have fought her off, but he decided to save them instead, you know, because yeah. So.
Yeah.
Which I didn't catch the first watch through. Honestly, I had a hard time tracking the fight choreography sometimes a little bit. Yeah, just to kind of know, like, wait, what happened? I like rewatching it kind of helped me like kind of keep track of it more. Sometimes I just think the cut scenes, they cut in certain places where I'm just like, wait, what happened? They're all separated now, like, you know, like, and so a little bit of the fight curvy. It was not the best in episode 4, but
not really, no. I was a little confused during the chase scene too, you know, just okay, wait. Who caught up? Wait, I thought so-and-so was chasing. Wait a minute, you know? Yeah, I couldn't tell if that was just me, though, and no, it was early in the morning.
It was not just you. Like, this, I noticed this on my second watch, so I'm like, I really still don't know what's happening, even though I'm watching it the second time, and I barely realize right now that, well, he did the sacrifice play. I didn't even see that last time. So, like, I just think it was, like, a little bit too chaotic. Maybe too much shaky camera, too. I don't know. It was just, like, it was kind of, like, a little bit too much going on.
Yeah, but I guess, like, to sum it up, Waleed took out one of the clandestines, only for him to get taken out afterward. We can't mourn him. Oh, we're trapped. Okay, we gotta fight our way out. Ba, 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 ba. Oh, stab the bangle. There goes the train in the rift. We're in, you know?
Right.
Was there anything else in episode 4 that you wanted to discuss?
I guess just, like, shout out to Kamran for, fighting that guard, just to, like, jump in doing the Natasha Romanoff move with his legs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He's the one who got them out of there, and yet the mom just up and abandons him. I'm never gonna forget that. Like, I hate her forever for that, because
we got another bad mom.
Oh, we do. We really gotta redo our Marvel parent efforts.
Yeah, now that we've got more moms and dads to add into there, and healthy, good parents from Kamala, yes, I'm here for it. But Najma, you a bad mama jama.
The worst.
Get out of here.
Like, worse. Like, why did you even have Kamran if you were gonna be that soulless? Anyway, I mean, okay, actually, since we're on this topic and moving on to episode 5, did you find it that believable or compelling when she, like, sacrificed, quote, her?
I did not.
Okay. It made me think, I mean, my first thought was, oh my gosh, I saw the power channeling over to him, and I was like, she's like, I am gonna go to my son. Literally, I'm gonna possess him.
That was my thought.
Yeah.
That was my thought. I'm like, she's kind of the worst already. I wouldn't be surprised if that was her move, and she's just like, yeah, it's fine. We share DNA, and he loves his mother, so I might as well, you know? Like, I thought that's exactly what was happening. And I'm still a little confused as to what happened, but I guess just her power or something transferred over to him. I'm not 100% sure if that's really the case, but I thought it was a little too quick for her to be like, yes, my Cameron, you know? Like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, props to Kamala for saying, you could still go back to your son. And I was ready to be like, no, she should die. Like,
that's usually my line, Bridget.
I know, but she was the one. She abandoned him, okay? There was no way she was gonna be, like, a good mom. Like,
redeemable. Was, yeah. Yeah, like, nah. I thought it was a little too last minute, too. I didn't really believe that. Like, don't get me wrong, Kamala had a really good speech, and she made some really good points, but she's talking to the woman who up and her abandoned her injured son while they were escaping from very questionable law enforcement. So, and the fact that Cameron still is like, no, I need to stay in one place so my mom could come and get me. Oh. I'm like, oh, it hurts so much. But yeah, that scene I didn't think was too believable. And again, I'm a little confused as to what exactly happened and if whatever she did actually closed that rift. The veil,
right? That's why I'm suspicious, because, like, I mean, that's why my first thought was she went to possess him, and then he still seemed to be like his normal self. So I'm like, okay, either she's hibernating in the back of his subconscious, or she's really good at pretending to be him. But then I don't know, the whole thing with the interaction with Bruno, I feel like Kamran is still there, you know? So, like, I'm still kind of holding out, not exactly hope, but just, like, the thought that she's in the back of his mind, you know, ready to kind of come out and take over, you know, which, you know, would pave the way for, like, an evil Kamran, and you'll get your dream, Jen, where you can hate him.
But it's not like I want to hate someone so much or loathe someone so much, but the comic, just want to meet him, punch him in the throat. He is the worst. But yet, they transferred all that dislikability and hatred that I have over to his mother. So I'm like, but if she is hiding in the back of his mind, I can see that, just because it was resolved too quickly.
Exactly.
That, yeah, I'm like, nah, she's still alive. She's gonna possess Cameron at, like, the worst possible moment, or she's going to come back as like a spirit, like a powerful spirit. Or I don't know, but we have not seen the last of her. And I kind of refuse to believe that the veil has been closed entirely. We had one of the djinn, like, we can go home. And then up, she's skeleton now. Okay.
That was gruesome. Know? Yeah.
I would have been so mad if she would have been dusted. I would have been like, no, I've had enough for the past couple of years. No. But yeah, just from skin and bone, I'm like, oh, that happened. Okay. But I kind of refuse to believe that two bodies, even if they're clandestines, I refuse to believe that two of them could close that veil. Like, I'm a little suspicious of that. But I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, for one, right, if this was the last episode, I would be, like, totally lampooning that ending, right? Because it's just like, what? That makes no sense. Like, how is it not, you know? But the fact is, this is the ultimate episode, right? So, like, we don't know what's going to happen next, and I really don't think we've seen the last of her. So, I mean, I'm holding on to that theory for sure, that she is hovering around in Cameron's subconscious, poor baby boy, I cannot.
No.
Someone, please save him. Like, please.
He went to Brian for help.
I was right also that he genuinely thought his name was Brian. Like, my boy straight up looked at Bruno and was like, oh, white boy, his name is Brian, right? That's probably right.
Yeah, that's exactly
how it happened. And the thing is, it's so real. That's a mood, okay? He does look like a Brian, I'm not gonna lie.
Yep. Yeah, just the sheer confusion on his face when he's just like,
yeah,
it was so cute and so genuine too. Just like, you know what, this is awkward, let's start all over. Hi, I'm Cameron. Hi, I'm Bruno. Oh my gosh!
Oh my
God. I genuinely thought your name was Brian. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I didn't notice the first four times. Salty Bruno.
Salty. I mean, to be fair, I did also think that it was a purposeful dig at first.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
So, like, I get it. But, like, yeah, he was just...
His face.
He genuinely was like, your name's not Brian. I'm so sorry.
Oh, sweet baby boy. It's gonna suck when you get possessed by your mother.
Oh, the worst.
Because I guess whatever it was she did gave him some powers now that either he didn't have before, or like with Kamala, it was kind of within his genetics but was just reawakened, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. Because in the comics, he does have abilities. Not like that. Well, kind of like that, I guess. It just... Don't know how to explain it, but yeah, basically energy that he controls from his body, because his body is energy and he looks like an electric individual. Like, think Jamie Foxx from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, you know, all blue and electric-y, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess, you know, they're gonna give him his powers like that. Whether or not that's Najma in the background, like of his subconscious, like shooting out the powers, or I don't know. But I guess we'll find out, because apparently the government, and again, I always forget their name, Damage Control.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to let our prisoners escape without a fight. We're just going to, you know, blast our way through civilian territory just to get one of the escaped ones. Okay. Like, what? All right. Oh my gosh, you have powers?
Yes, that was so perfect. And also, I'm glad that we finally got clarity. I mean, we already kind of guessed it, but clarity on Bruno's family situation.
Yeah, in the comics, he, I forget how, but he lost both his parents and he's living with an uncle now. My poor baby. It's kind of how he and Kamala became friends in the comics, where he had lost his family, so he was a little bit depressed, and his uncle, bless him, didn't really know what to do, so Bruno was the quote-unquote smelly kid of the class. Oh. And Kamala's parents noticed, and they're like, hey, why don't you go make friends with that boy? And little Kamala's like, he stinks. And they're like, well, you don't know his family life. And they heard rumor that he was an orphan, but they didn't know for sure. They're like, well, you don't know what his home life is like, Betha, just go talk to him, you know? And so she goes talk to him, and they've been BFFs ever since.
Okay,
yeah,
well, great. I'm like, glad to have that little wholesomeness. Yeah, anyway, well, okay, so let's backtrack again though, to the beginning of episode 5 with, you know, we get that old style news footage from obviously the British
that was cool.
perspective of the partition, right?
Yeah, I was like, "Oh my gosh, they've changed the Marvel thing. That's so cool. Oh my gosh." You know, oh.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. So then it jumps to 1942 India, which is still under the British rule at that time, right? And Aisha flees and finds refuge in the village, and that's where she first sees Hassan from a distance the first time, right?
Yeah.
So he's setting up for, you know, Indian independence, and, you know, so he makes the big speech, and, like, she's just kind of watching, like, it all play out, and, you know, the British soldiers come in and just say, everyone, get out, you know, which I'm surprised they didn't, like, roughhouse everybody more. They just said, oh, just get out of here, you know?
Go home.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, surprisingly not as violent as I thought they would be, but all right. Don't know how entirely historically accurate that is, but... know. But anyway, but so she notices him, right? And so that, like, yeah, that clearly draws her to his property, I guess, his gardens. And
yeah,
he finds her sleeping there, and so he nudges her with his cane, and she's like, I will break your leg. And he's like, this leg that I you know, that I need the cane to walk, like, I'm not using it, you know. It's kind of how he put it.
Yeah, good sense of humor. I love people like that who are like, oh, what, this thing that I'm supposed to be supposedly weaker for? The thing that you're supposed to be making fun of me for? Oh, yeah, that thing. Oh, okay. You know, but he was not fazed by her threatening him. He's just like, all right, well, if you need food or shelter, you know, my home is always open. And I'm a little surprised she took him up on that, but
I mean,
she's probably like, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I think it was that, but I think also because she had seen him earlier, you know, she's kind of, I think she must have admired his spirit, and even then when he approaches her at the field, you know, he's very gentle with her, you know, he's just like, well, it'd be nice if you didn't hurt my roses, but honestly, you seem in worse shape.
Yeah.
Something, you know, so he approaches her very gently, you know, which, I think, I mean, it's worth talking about this, especially because, I'm always thinking about, like, the way masculinity plays out in the MCU, right? And, like, mm-hmm. he's not, like, throwing his weight around, so to speak, right? He, like, lets her come to him, you know, and when he asks questions but she doesn't want to answer, he's just like, okay. I mean, even later, right? She's like, why didn't you didn't push? You know, he's like, what matters is that you chose us, that's all that mattered to me. You know, he really was just like, it is none of my business. You know, if you want to tell me, you can tell me, and you know, if not, then I'm not going to feel threatened by that, right? What matters is, like, the here and now. And, and it's obviously just, like, a very sensitive soul, just, again, with how he approached her, was so gently, and, again, is not invasive in any way, or, like, assuming anything about her, or assuming that she owes him anything, right? He just is like, all right,
I'll
give you food, and, like, you know, I call you hungry. All right, you're not gonna give me a name, okay? You know, and she's the one who offers her name in the end, right?
Yeah,
and I really love that moment a lot, actually, because you know, he's just like going on talking and chatting, and then you just see like the transformation on her face where she's like, "I love you already." Like, it's Aisha, and he's like, "Oh, okay."
It's just, yeah, beautiful name.
yeah, and like I also want to note too, because he quotes this poet, so he quotes, like, technically two quotes, even though he says it's from his favorite poem as if it's one singular thing, but it's actually two. So he quotes the 13th century Persian poet and Sufi mystic Rumi. And so the first one is from the poem A Great Wagon. When a soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. This is the part where he said, like, when I first saw you, it reminded me of that verse. Right. And then he shifts to saying the more famous line of what you seek is seeking you. Now, so this takes us back to episode 4, right? Because we see, we find out the inscription on the bangle is what you seek is seeking you. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that phrase. And I'm curious, like, Jen, just from, like, without any context or background, how did you understand that line, you know, after watching both episodes?
I kind of figured it was like a destiny thing where it's just like you kind of go through life and you want one thing, but it's eventually going to find you, the thing that you need. That was kind of how I interpreted that. You'll always come across the thing you were destined to do or the things you were destined to find, you know? That's how I interpreted it.
You hit the nail on the head. That's it right there. And I think it was, it's got contrast to what I had initially thought it was, just going off of episode 4, where it's like, what you seek is seeking you, felt ominous to me, you know?
Really?
It did. I guess I was thinking in terms of like Kamala being on the run from the other djinn, you know? It was just kind of like, oh, I don't know. I think I was just feeling more more tense on her behalf that I was like, well, you seek a secret.
Gotcha.
You know? So to have, oh, okay, it's from a Sufi mystic, you know, poet, you know, that's like philosophizing about life and like, yeah, of just like what you are looking for does come to find you. And I think it kind of gets at this idea too of just like, I don't know, the lack of control that like you have even over your own destiny, you know, that like what you want and what you're looking for, your deepest desires and passions are leading you in that direction. You choose to go in that direction, right? But ultimately it's like, you know, you are the one who is encountered by said destiny or said fate, you know?
Yes, yes.
So yeah, there's a little bit of like, you know, yeah, I like that lot, that not loss of control, but just like, I guess, perspective, right? That it's about more than just like what you think, right? Especially because I think about like more broadly, like we think that there's like this linear path, right? Like thinking of like a college student that's graduating. Oh, I take this step and this step and this step, right? But it's not always that clear cut, right? And like you shift from job to job and you're still trying to figure it out. And eventually, you know, you find something that works for you, right? And I think it kind of like gets at the idea a little bit, right? That it's not like the straight through line necessarily, right? And like,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. And like, you know, for Kamala, like what she's seeking is answers about her powers, right? And about her family. And it's her family that finds her, right? And like, because it turns out that Aisha was the one who called her to her, you know, called her back in time to save her family, right? And that's how Kamala finds out more about the origins of her powers and everything and the origins of her family. But ultimately, yeah, she had been seeking those answers, but in the end, those answers, you know, came looking for her. And so,
yeah.
And I don't know, it's just interesting, especially with the time travel, when you think about destiny, because it's like, it's a double fate in a way, right? Because the grandma is fated to live and Kamala is fated to be born to her and then to go back and save the grandma. It's like this dual fated to be there for each other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a time loop. I've come across that a couple times already, more recently in a video game. So I'm like, don't think too hard about it. Just accept that it's magic and know that in this case, it was fate. Just this all had to happen. I accept that.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I think that's definitely another overarching thing, theme of, like, in addition to the mothers, is certainly the whole concept of destiny, of what you seek is seeking you, so, yeah, and I'm interested to see how that continues to play out for, you know, the final episode, but anyway, anything else you wanna, talk about?
Just that I'm excited that Kamala's costume, you know, her Miss Marvel costume's coming together, you know, when Kareem gives her his red bandana as the opposite of an Irish goodbye, you know?
Oh, that was great. I loved that line. What was it specifically that she says to him?
It's supposed to be the opposite of an Irish goodbye where you take more food with you, you know?
Yeah, overstay your welcome and then ask if you could take home food is what she says.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh my gosh, that is hysterical and I love it so much. Especially because I think of our friend, Jen and I have a mutual friend who always does Irish goodbyes to us.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'm leaving, but, and then, oh, she's already gone. Okay, well, fine.
Okay. You know? Yeah, their goodbye was nice. No kisses because Mama Khan was definitely watching.
I mean, do you think she would have kissed him if the mom wasn't there?
I think she would have kissed his cheek.
Interesting.
I suspect that, you know. like they bonded, you know, whether as bros or as a potential love interest, depending on how you look at it. But I think if her mom wasn't there, I think she would have just been like, bye, hugged him, and then maybe give him a quick peck on the cheek, you know, and he would have been like, oh, okay. That's how I think.
I mean, but he does give her his mask, which, I mean, you could think of as an indirect kiss, maybe?
Yeah, it's very nice and, like, intimate in a sort of way, you know? Just,
yeah.
Again, and it completes her outfit a little more, too, which made me pretty happy.
Yeah, it did feel intimate. That's the perfect word for it, right? Because it's, you know, it's intimate both in terms of, like, you know, how he has it right around his face, but, like, it's also intimate because it concealed his identity and, like, is tied to his identity with the red daggers, you know, and is tied to that whole community and what he's all about and who he is, right, is signified in this, you know, in this mask. Even though she had made fun of him for it earlier, like, oh, that scarf, did you have trouble finding a scarf big enough for your big mouth? It's just like... But now he gives it to her, and like this, just like the how quickly they came to trust one another and work well together. Also,
yeah, for sure,
saves him with the truck, you know, coming just in time, and you know, coordinating her sparkles or her, I don't know how to describe her powers. But you know, to coordinate with his daggers and like, you know, for the, you know, it's just like I felt like they worked very smoothly together and like would make a great team just in general, like superpower team. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I did like it. As much as I griped about having a third love interest, I did enjoy the interactions, and I thought like it made sense for them to mesh well together, you know.
Oh, for sure.
They're like kind of like bickering a little bit, and even though he's kind of making fun of her for not like, you know, knowing the culture the way he does, right? Because she's an ABCD, right? And he's native to Pakistan. Yeah. And so, but at the same time, she's making fun of him, right? Pakistani boy band, right? Once again.
Yeah.
You know, so it feels like, you know, even playing an even playing field with that. You know, but like, yeah, just like how quickly they came to trust one another, but it was like believable, you know, it's, you could tell that they are both like very good hearted kids who are looking out for one another, you know, and taking care of one another. And like, I mean, she's the one who like says, no, we have to help Waleed when he's on the ground. He's like, it's too late, you know. And he, you know, even though he's the one who has like a more direct personal tie with him, he's just like, we have to go, right? He has that practical mindset of just like, we have to leave, you know, and I have to make sure to protect you, which soft vibes always, love that, you know.
Always.
They're both like I had to protect you. Like, so yeah. They're protective of each other. And so, yeah, it comes up in a lot of, you know, subtle visual moments that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I want them to meet again, but I doubt it's going to happen in the next episode. Maybe in future work of Ms. Marvel. I'm not sure if they're going to have a second season or not, but...
I hope they do.
Yeah, hard to say because we have the Marvels coming up in like a year or two. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Oh, maybe we gotta talk about the other big thing, though. The mom finding out the truth.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because I'm a little conflicted with that. Because I don't know what I was expecting, but I expected a little more freaking out on Muniba's part, plus a little more, like, her being like, hey, what are you doing? You know, I have questions. But instead she's kind of like, you're the night girl? And then that's kind of it.
I mean, I feel like it's, like, she's been told by her mother all her life about... like the djinn and like the quote magic and everything, you know, and I feel like, you know, just kind of like, I feel like for the mom, it's like seeing is believing kind of deal. You know, this is not like the first time that she's ever like come across djinn, like necessarily, you know, even if it was just in stories, you know, and for her it was stories, but here it's like she's seeing it actually play out in real life, you know. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I mean, she says later to her mom, like, I just didn't see what you needed me to see. Right.
Yeah.
So I personally wasn't bothered by that. But I mean, I do see your point, but I think, I don't know, for me, it was just kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, she's been told about it all her life. She's just seeing it actually play out. And that just kind of was the final click in her head.
Gotcha. Yeah, it just maybe it's because I'm too busy thinking like, okay, like most other people would react like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm thinking of all the hero reveals I've watched and read over the years, and they're all very dramatic. And it was actually a little more dramatic in the comics too, where both of Kamala's parents were like, what? You're that girl, Betha? You know, oh my gosh, how long? Oh my God, you know, just there was definitely a lot more like, oh my gosh-ness to it all. So the fact that there wasn't much there, I was just kind of like, yeah, no, you know, but when you put it that way, I see it as more believable now that this is something Muniba grew up with, where she's just like, oh, I guess it is real. It actually explains a couple things, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I accept that.
Yeah. I mean, because I said at the beginning, like, when the series first started, right, she knows something about that bangle, right? Like, I was like, there is a history there, and she knows about it. So, like, I've always, you know, held that, like, you know, if anything, the mom's been holding out on Kamala, right? She knows more than she's always known more than she's let on, but she just hasn't really allowed herself to acknowledge the stuff that she knows, you know? That's kind of where I land with that. But... yeah, so, but anyway, yeah, and I'm kind of relieved, though, for, I mean, okay, also I called this, too, though, that, like, the family's gonna find out. Like, this is gonna be the world's worst kept secret. Like,
yeah, all of Poppy agreed.
Seeing her without her mask, I'm just like, why do you even bother with the mask at this point, Kamala? Like, anyway, yeah, so it clocked that, predicted that, appreciate it though, because it's a change of pace, I think, for you know, positive family relationship. She's not gonna be grounded anymore, at least I hope not. Like, now she understands why she behaved the way she did at the wedding and everything.
Yeah,
and now she has, like, you know, a support system that knows how to support her, you know.
Yeah, definitely gotta figure out what they're gonna tell Mr. Khan and her, you know, the brother and the sister-in-law. We got people to tell, and we still gotta figure out how Nakia is taking all this.
Right, because she doesn't reply to Kamala at all.
I know! Oh, that hurts me.
But, okay. But thought,
so
though,
much more that needs to go on.
I know. But the thought, though, maybe they don't tell the rest of the family, though. What if the Muniba is just like, you know what? This is just between us, you know, my family, you know, like, or obviously the father and the brother are their, her family, but I mean, like, going back to the matrilineal vibes, you know, I'm curious if she'll just be like, no, this is just going between us. We don't need to endanger more people. This is like our, you know, our legacy, our ancestry. I don't know. I mean, it's possible they tell the rest of the family. I wouldn't be surprised, or anything like that, but I'm just playing with that idea.
That would be interesting. It would be hard to keep that secret, world's worst kept secret and all that jazz, right. But
yeah.
I guess we'll find out in the last episode next week. Wow.
I know. Okay, all right. So we've been talking a lot of, like, big, you know, big themes and big emotional experiences and action and everything. But, all right, I'm gonna bring up a superficial thing, but, like, alright, we got three ships now. Which one are you hopping on, Jen?
None of the above.
Yeah.
Although it does seem like it'll go more in favor towards Cameron or Bruno other than Kareem. But hard to say if Cameron might have his mother in the back of his mind and Bruno still might be leaving.
Yeah.
So it just might go nowhere.
Yeah, no, I don't think any. I don't think any of the ships will actually sail. Certainly not this season.
No, not this season. In the movie, in the potential next season, maybe. But for now, I think we're just gonna focus on superheroing and cleaning up the mess and getting the government off her back. Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Yikes.
Yikes.
Honestly, the Department of Damage Control feels more like a this guy kind of moment. You know, we talked about that guy from Ant-Man the Wasp, we were,
yes,
like that low level, what was his name, Sonny? I only remember because
I can't even remember. I literally was just like, this guy.
Yeah, we just said this guy the whole time. We're like, you're not the real antagonist here, okay? We don't,
like,
care about,
like,
you.
Stop.
We care about,
let the both. Big boys play.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, that's kind of how Damage Control feels to me right now. I'm just like, get out of here. You're just that guy that we just roll our eyes on every time you come on screen. So, yeah, they're kind of ridiculous in my opinion. But anyway, yeah, in terms of what you think will happen next, I mean, we've kind of touched on, like, what we think with Qumran. We don't think that's the last of, like, the veil being torn, for sure.
Oh my gosh, right? Doctor Strange is gonna pop up and be like, not another one. I am tired of you kids opening portals to other dimensions. Just keep it closed. What do you do?
Oh man, that would be funny. But yeah, I mean, okay, question. Do you think Bruno and Qumran will actually become friends?
Reluctantly so in his case, I think.
In Bruno's case?
In Bruno's case, yeah, because he is determined to not like the guy that Kamala is very much attracted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it's gonna go.
I hope they become bros, though, because, like, yeah, I just think that would be nice. We don't have enough
positive. Well, Bruno was willing to hide him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that would be nice to have a positive male friendship. We don't have as much of those as we really need.
Yeah, exactly. So, here's hoping for the best with that. Yeah, I guess any other predictions?
I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that Captain Marvel will make a brief cameo, even if it's just a silhouette, kind of like a Superman from Shazam, or Gwen at the end of Into the Spider-Verse. You know, where we just hear the voice. I am really wanting that to happen. I doubt it will happen, but you never know. I figure the Department of Damage Control will be sent away some way, shape, or form with the tails between their legs. I don't know how or who has a stronger authority. I don't, but either way, go away. Like, you and your freaky drones are really getting on my nerves, and you're also making me very nervous. Go away.
Yeah, no, exactly. Oh, I guess one other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that, like, Grandma did seem to be able to manipulate that energy that Kamala sent, so, like, is she gonna, like, have powers, too? Will Maniba, like, exhibit any powers?
Oh, yeah.
I have questions with that.
Yeah, a couple loose ends there.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, especially because, I mean, I don't know how genetics work with, like the djinn and humans, you know, but, like, Waleed was, like, saying, like, that Kamala's connection to humanity was how she was able to access the Noor dimension energy.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, basically saying, you know, because she has both, right? But, like, if you know, the grandma is technically half and half, you know, and the mom is, like, quarter, you know, so technically Kamala is only, like, an eighth djinn, you know, again, but I don't know really how genetics work as far as, like, you know, djinn and human, but, you know, like, theoretically, right, like, her grandma and mom could be even more powerful.
Theoretically, yeah. Strap the bangle on one of them and let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens, yeah. No, but I mean, even without, I mean, I guess she had worn the bangle at some point that I should put it on her arm. So I was wondering, like,
yeah,
I was unable to manipulate it, but I guess she had worn it at one point.
Yeah, that would be interesting. They mentioned a little bit about Kamala's family having, like, that inhuman gene within them at some point. Not so much her parents, but definitely her grandparents, and even her brother had that potential to be a superhero, but it was briefly reawakened only for it to be shut down really quickly for comic plot reasons. So that's something to consider to see what could possibly happen, what that means for genetics or what that means for the future generation. I mean, her brother and his new wife, they get to cracking on babies really quickly in the comics.
Oh,
so,
really?
Who knows? Yeah, it's really cute.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's super interesting. Yeah, so lots of things that could be happening. How are you feeling about this finale? I mean, right, we've always had this, like, little check-in of, like, how are you feeling? Is it gonna come together at the finale?
Okay, so far I'm seeing the plot sweater come together. It's looking pretty comfortable. Got a couple holes here and there, so, but otherwise I'm feeling okay about this. What about you? Any concerns? Are you feeling confident? How are you feeling?
I mean, honestly, for one, I'm disappointed that we weren't able to come up with a new metaphor for this one, because, like, we got, like, the gymnast jumping off the high beam for Moon Knight, the plot sweater, for, well, actually the plot sorter has actually kind of been for several series. We did it for like Loki, where it was just like a spool of thread at the end.
Yeah,
the Winter Soldier it was a complete plot sweater. That was a good plot sweater.
That was a great plot sweater. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think your plot sweater with some holes is pretty apt. I mean, who knows? They might plug in a few holes by the end of the finale. We'll have to see. But yeah, I am feeling excited. Like I'm interested to see how it's all gonna shake out. And I'm really enjoying how much they've really delved in so deeply with Pakistani culture and like the history of the partition and like really making it visceral and emotional in a way, you know, because she went back in time and we're actually seeing it. And because, you know, even before Kamala gets there, right, we get to see her great grandparents interact and fall in love against this backdrop of the partition and like, you know, little things, right, where like they're being discriminated against because they're Muslim, right? And
suddenly, yeah,
you know, not being sold milk and like kind of being driven out, and like, you know, I mean, that's the excuse that Aisha uses when she tells her family they have to flee, right? It's because you know what's coming. But I mean, Hassan figures it out, right? He's just like, I know it's something more than that. Who is the lady you were talking to? You know, but you know, it is a valid excuse too, because they really wouldn't have been able to stay, you know. And even though it was his generational home, and he wasn't sure, like. And also I want to say, actually, because Hassan was worried about, like, giving his daughter something, like, giving her a home, but, like, she has a beautiful house, like, Kamala comments on it, like, wow, it's big, bigger than I remember. And, like, so, it's just really nice that he does leave that behind for his daughter and for the rest of his family, you know, when he was worried about, you know, this home that has been in his family for generations being lost. But, you know, so they've really gone into the history and the culture and, like, you know, from such an authentic viewpoint, right? Because, I mean, we've been reading the creative credits for this series as we've been going along, right? And, you know, these are people who, you know, I mean, today's director, right, was born in Karachi. Like, you know, it adds that layer, that depth that I think we definitely wouldn't have gotten if it had all been done by white people. or even not just white people, like anyone who isn't, like, Pakistani or, you know, what have you.
Yeah.
Not to just make it all about white people. All right. but yeah, so anyway, yeah, so that's I've really been appreciating the show for that, and for just like the cast, and for just like, yeah, taking it in surprising directions, I think, in a lot of positive ways. You know, and I'm hopeful that we get the full payoff, but we'll have to see. I'm excited though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really pleased with how well they've handled Kamala Khan. I'm happy to report that I approve of how they've handled our girl, and I cannot wait for this last episode. So, wow.
If I could leave it off with just like one more quote though from Muniba, like talking about like how she was a rebel and has been, your father and I were in all kinds of adventures, and then she says, none of them have been as thrilling as being your mother.
Oh my god.
That's
so
beautiful, and I feel like that's the perfect way to end our episode about these episodes, because that just like so succinctly, you know, describes the whole premise, I think, of Ms. Marvel, and like especially these last few episodes, you know.
So. Yep, I'm here for it, folks. That's why I got a little emotional with this episode. Mm. It's fine. We're fine. All right, final battle for next week, I guess. So
let's go. Yeah,
let's do this.
And I'll be excited to have a break. Oh wait, Thor. All right. Well, guess I can't have nice things. No.
Nope.
I don't know when we're going to be able to come out with our Thor episode. COVID things and other life things have been getting in our way lately, but you know what? It'll come out eventually. We will be
eventually
talking about Thor.
Uh-huh.
We will. And we'll be talking about Ms. Marvel very soon. So good things are happening. Good day to be a Marvel fan.
Oh yeah.
I'm exhausted anyway.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to, you know, spread the word about us, you know?
Yep. rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about the show. If you ever want to hit us up, you can, hit us up on our website, nerdalertgirls.tumblr.com, or email us at nerdalertgirlspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for your support, even just listening, taking the time out of your day. It's just really fun to be able to talk about Marvel with some of my best friends, like Jen.
Yeah.
It's a good time. So,
good times.
Anyway, thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time on Nerd Alert. Girls.
Bye, everybody. We'll be right back.